This is a DJBooth.net exclusive interview.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Z doing it real big. And joining me inside the DJ booth is a renowned Houston MC who on March 31st will remind the world one more time it's always about UGK for life. Please welcome, for the second time in as many years, my man Bun B.
Z, what's good, baby?
Thank you for joining me, my friend. How are you?
I'm wonderful, man. Thanks for having me. UGK for life.
Absolutely. Last year when we spoke, we mourned the passing of Pimp, and we celebrated your Grammy nomination. It was certainly a whirlwind of emotions in what was a very short period of time. So approaching this release, the final UGK album ever, what is going through your mind?
Just about making sure that I do justice to the legacy. You know, up until this point, it was always primarily Pimp C's concern to maintain the integrity of the group. That's the position that he chose. And now that it falls on me, I want to make sure that I do right by it the same way that he did right by it.
Bun, some might say that Pimp's passing actually elevated the UGK name to a popularity level that it hadn't seen at times while he was alive. So what are your feelings on the swelling of support following his passing?
Well, I mean, hopefully, you know, it all comes from a very genuine and real place. I myself, you know, I take no pleasure in trying to take advantage of the situation, and I will not allow anyone else to receive any advantage of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I appreciate the support as long as it's from a real place, but at the same time, you have to be very careful because it's during times like this where people usually tend to try to take advantage.
Last month, Jive, your record label, held a listening session for the new album, and one of our reporters, Erica, was in attendance. In her coverage, she quoted you as saying, "This is it. It may sound very cliche, but this is still very real to me, and it may be to some of you. This is it." So, Bun, how do you think UGK will be remembered in the game long term?
I think primarily UGK will be remembered as, you know, as creating its own individual sound based on the production genius of Pimp C. I think lyrically, UGK will be credited with touching on a lot of the conflicts that come with living in an urban setting and dealing in a conflicting lifestyle, say, you know, being a Christian and being a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, a lot of different conflicts of morality that young people are coming up with today, dealing with certain situations. And we tried to be people to make sure that we spoke to them to their specific situations. And I hope that we accomplished that. And I hope we were able to give people some light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. But on the lead single off the album, "The Game Been Good to Me," through all the trials and tribulations that both you and Pimp endured, both separately and together, what is the overpowering force, would you say, that leads you back to a positive sentiment that you outlined in that record?
God and home. If, you know, if it wasn't for our faith in God, we wouldn't have made it this far. And it wasn't for the people that we represent and where we represent from, constantly reminding us who we are and where we're from and what we're supposed to be doing, not checking us, but keeping us in check, so to speak, definitely had a lot to do with UGK sticking to its core base. Everyone around us and involved in the UGK situation and UGK family are, for the most part, lifelong friends and people who can come and tell, you know, I'm not the kind of person you can't tell I'm wrong to. I'd appreciate it if you told me I was wrong. You know, because if you're really my friend, you're not going to send me out looking like a dummy. You're not going to let me catch a bad one that I don't have to.
Since their passing, we've heard respective catalogs from both Tupac and Biggie completely emptied out. Bun, how much unheard Pimp material was not used on this album and is still left in the can?
I can't say because I'm not the holder of the can, Z. The estate holds all the music. Pimp C was a very proficient recorder. That being said, I wasn't around every time he recorded, so I honestly have no idea how much music that the estate still has.
Everything on this album, though, is this stuff that you guys did together in the studio, or is it a cut and paste job from all his stuff across the board?
No. Some of these songs, for example, three of the songs were pretty much fully completed prior to his passing.
Okay.
A couple of the other ones were songs where he'd laid a verse, I laid a verse, and we just never went back to finish it. Every time Pimp did a beat, he wanted to lay something to it.
Mm-hmm.
To you know, he'd lay a beat, and then he'd have some kind of idea, a theme with it. So even if he just sang a hook or laid eight bars, just so he could remember the direction that he wanted the song to go into, he would do that, or we would do that. So every song had some kind of basic structure put to it. Like, we weren't taking verses off one song and putting it on another song unless we completely restructured the song, which only happened really one time, so to speak.
I think it's easy for fans who followed your career to know when material per se was recorded with the two of you working hand in hand and when it wasn't. Do you feel anything off this album to longtime UGK fans will feel foreign because of the way it was produced following his passing?
No, not at all. None of the songs on this UGK album started from a Bun B structure. Everything started with at least a track and a Pimp C thought process. So it all comes from that. And you keep in mind that Pimp C and I, you know, we never really recorded everything together at the same time anyway. Mm-hmm. We weren't the kind of people who wrote a verse and be like, yo, check out my verse. So that I would know what to write. We didn't do that. We knew that we had two totally different outlooks on life, but that they were pretty good complements to each other. You know, say we were talking about women, for example.
Okay.
MC and I are not attracted to the same kind of women, and we handle our situations with women differently. He's a pimp, I'm a player. It's two different situations. Mm-hmm. So if we make a song about women, I know that I'm not going to say anything that he's going to say, and vice versa. So we don't have to check with each other for context or words or lyrics. We already know what we're going to talk about. He's going to have his viewpoint. I'm going to have my viewpoint. But it's really, everything is black and white. So that's how we try to approach it. One of us is going to talk from the black side. One of us will talk from the white side. Then hopefully there's no gray area.
What would you attribute that wonderful chemistry to?
Just really knowing each other as people, being very honest and being very real with each other. You know what I'm saying? And laying this, you know, trying to lay as much on the table as humanly possible. You know, because Pimp and I were very different personalities. So there was only so much time that we could really spend in each other's company before we started rubbing each other the wrong way.
Sure.
Not that we didn't like each other, we loved each other as men. We were very, very, very strong friends, but at the same time, personalities clash, and there's nothing anybody can do about that. But we knew each other. We knew when there was time for us to be around each other. There was time when we shouldn't be. And we knew how we knew exactly how to balance our relationship, you know what I'm saying, to make sure that we remain close friends and productive musicians.
You mentioned laying it on the table. Was there anything that you always wanted to get off your chest and let him know about that you never got the opportunity to before he passed?
No, not at all. Pimp knew everything that I didn't like. He knew everything that I liked. It was maybe one or two things that I had to tell him, and that I ended up telling him. Like I said, we had a long heart-to-heart talk a couple of days before he passed away and got a lot of things off our respective chest. We do things that we had already knew that we never really said out loud to each other. Issues that he had with me and issues that I may have had with him, which weren't life-threatening or they weren't deal-breakers.
Okay.
It was just some shit that just needed to be said. Sometimes things just have to be fucking said and getting out there and just fucking said and call it. I know it's a spade, you call it a spade, we're going to call it a spade and leave it at that, you know, for lack of a better term.
Last week I spoke with fellow Houstonian, Slim Thug, who said that there's no denying that Houston's rap scene isn't as popular as it was 2 to 3 years ago. And he cited a strong release schedule headline by this brand new UGK album as the building block toward a return prosperity. What is your outlook for 2009 and beyond for Houston rap?
Well, I just hope that everybody collectively learns from their individual mistakes and realize that there's more strength in numbers than with any of our individual success. And then we come back as the collective that the world, you know, assumed we were.
We're going to take some reader questions now. First one comes from J.K. Real Eyes of Boston, Massachusetts, and he wants to know, Bun, do you consider yourself and UGK legends?
J.K., I've learned to come to terms with it. It's not a label that I put on myself. It's not a label that I would want to put on myself, and I would hope that no one else would put it on themselves. But that being said, to a certain collective of people, they believe it to be a reality, and they believe in me, and it all comes from a very genuine place of love, honor, and respect. So rather than question it and try to make a big deal out of it, I just, you know, take a slice of humble pie and swallow it.
Next question comes from Janet of Hollywood, California, and she said, was there ever any consideration given to finding a replacement for Pimp C and continuing to record under the UGK moniker?
Well, obviously, Janet, you haven't been around that long. I don't think Janet could possibly have been a lifelong UGK fan. But just so she knows, there's actually a clause in the UGK recording contract for jail and for death.
Really?
Yes. That stipulates if one of the members dies that I have an option to either add another member or to record solo. And same thing goes with if one of us is in prison. And I chose not to accept the option on either one.
So with this album, basically, it completes the outstanding requirements of the contract?
Absolutely.
Next question comes from iTunes Era of Seattle, Washington. And he wrote, what artists do you feel are primed to carry on the musical legacy that UGK will have left on the city of Houston?
From a Southern aspect, mm-hmm. I think the best candidates right now would be Boosie and Webby from Baton Rouge. Huge.
Okay.
A Killer Mike from Atlanta as far as the Bun B aspect, and I think a Slim Thug from Houston as far as the Pimp C aspect, with the exception that Slim Thug's not a producer. Production-wise, I look at young people like Corey Moe, young people like Steve Bilo, young people like Gavin, who was a Gavin Luckett, he's LaToya Luckett's little brother.
Okay.
He produced a lot of the music for the Boss Hog Outlaws album, as well as stuff on Slim's solo album. And he's an incredible talent right now.
So needless to say, there's plenty of talent going around in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's just a matter of people making a conscious effort to accept the responsibility that comes with maintaining the integrity of Southern hip-hop. It's
sure.
not an easy job.
No, I agree.
For one, a lot of people would assume it doesn't exist in the first place.
Well, I think everybody proved that wrong a few years ago. It just needs to consistently be done from here on out. Last question from one of our readers comes from DJ Heavy Hitta of LaGrange, New York. And he said, before UGK, what a lot of people don't know is that you were a part of the group Four Black Ministers. So if you could reform a group today, who would you have join your clergy?
Keeping this purely theoretical,
yes.
In the sense that, of course, there's no replacement for Pimp C because he was an original member.
Mm-hmm.
With the subtext that comes with that, because keep in mind, Ministers was spelled MENACESTIRS, so in the sense of stirring menace, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It would definitely be probably a person like a Zero.
Okay.
Probably a Big Tuck.
Okay.
From Dallas and Killer Mike.
It's a nice fearsome foursome right there. Bun, give everybody a website, a MySpace page, something so they can find out more about, of course, the new album, UGK for Life, something that everybody needs to pick up.
They need to go right now to the MySpace page for UGK. It's myspace.com/or/. I'm not sure which way the // is.
It's back.
But UGK, simple, very simple, UGK. You can also go to the Bun B of UGK and the Pimp C of UGK MySpace pages. There's also the UGK website through jiverecords.com. It's called THE-UGKS.com, D-U-G-K's. So definitely go there and check that out.
Well, if they don't get their fill all over the web on all those websites, they can certainly check your music out on djbooth.net. Bun, it's always a pleasure to have you join me inside the DJ booth for an interview, and I hope to have many, many more.
Z, thank you for always being a person that asks real questions that people want to hear, and literally gives the people an opportunity to ask the questions they want to hear themselves. And it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. UGK for Life, long live Pimp C, new album in stores March 31st. God bless you. Good night.